Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Kuf Chof. We're holding Kuf Yud Tes Amid Beis. We'll start the Mi'at Hashem from five lines from the bottom of the Amid, where it starts Nisyabmu. And this Nisyabmu is a quote from our Mishnah. So to understand the Gemara, we have to go back to the Mishnah for a moment. The Mishnah here on Kuf Yud Tes Amid Beis. When the Mishnah began, Shtei Yavamas Zuoi Meres Meis Bali, Vizuoi Meres Meis Bali. You have two ladies that come from Medina Siam. Let's start at the beginning. Originally, four people went away on vacation. Reuven and his wife, Mrs. Reuven. Reuven's brother, Shimon, and his wife, Mrs. Shimon. Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon are not otherwise related. They're only related because they're married to the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, respectively.
They're sisters-in-law.
They are sisters-in-law. Exactly, but they're not sisters. Sisters and so what happens? The two Yavamis, meaning these two ladies, now return back from the trip. They went the marshal to London. They come back to New York. Everybody says, "Ah, oh, how was it? Wonderful vacation." Weary two husbands. Oh, unfortunately, bad news. The husbands passed away. Mrs. Reuven says her husband Reuven passed away. Mrs. Shimon says her husband Shimon passed away. Now you recall we learned earlier that if it was shalom beinoy ula beina, the shalom ba'olam, we believe a woman when she says that her husband passed away. So we believe Mrs. Reuven that Reuven is no longer. We believe Mrs. Shimon that Shimon is no longer. Now what should normally happen under those circumstances? Mrs. Reuven should fall liyibam to Shimon. Mrs. Shimon should fall liyibam to Reuven. However, they're certainly not here, and each one of the wives says that her husband passed away. So what the Mishnah comes and tells us is that even though Mrs. Reuven is believed that her husband passed away, Mrs. Shimon is believed that her husband passed away, but they're only believed for themselves. They're not believed vis-a-vis their sister-in-law. What's the reason why? Because we had that Mishnah earlier, a couple of days ago, back on Kuf Yud Zayin Omid Aleph Hakol Ne'emonim Lehoida, everybody is believed to go and say Eidus regarding whether a person passed away or not, except for five ladies. And one of the ladies is the Yevimta. Yevimta means the potential tzara were this lady to fall Liyibam to her husband. Meaning that vis-a-vis, for instance, Shimon, currently there's only one wife of Shimon, and that is Mrs. Shimon. But Mrs. Shimon, from the first day that she met Mrs. Reuven, she took a tremendous disliking to Mrs. Reuven. And she says, "Oy vavoy, whatever happens if Reuven passes away, that Mrs. Reuven is going to go and join me as my tzara, as the new Mrs. Shimon. Oy, tzitzan tzuris tzuriris." And she's always been fearful of that. So now, when Mrs. Reuven says, "My husband passed away," immediately Mrs. Shimon says, "Yeah, my husband also passed away." Not to have to have a problem of Mrs. Reuven potentially becoming her tzar. And therefore, she wants Mrs. Reuven to go and go out there and marry Lashuk, and therefore be over Isurim and become the Kokeles undan tzuris. That's what Mrs. Shimon is thinking about Mrs. Reuven. And since we said in the Gemara a couple of days ago, the pasuk in Mishlei, "Kamayim haponim leponim," just like Mrs. Shimon took a disliking to Mrs. Reuven, there's a strong likelihood that Mrs. Reuven took a disliking to Mrs. Shimon. And therefore she also is thinking in the back of her mind, "Oy, oy, oy, whatever happens if Shimon passes away, then Mrs. Shimon is going to join me with my husband, hoy, setzan tzuris." So therefore we believe each one vis-a-vis their own husband, but we do not believe them vis-a-vis the other Yavama, as the Mishnah tells us. Eshtei Yavamis zu oimeres meis bali. This one says, Mrs. Reuven says, "My husband passed away." Vizu oimeres, and Shimon says, Mrs. Shimon says, "Meis bali, Shimon passed away." Zu asura mei bali shel zu, vizu asura mei bali shel zu. Each one of them cannot go and marry Lishuk. They cannot go and be misyabim through their Yevamim, because Yevamim are not here. I don't know where they are. The wives say that they're dead. Who knows? But one thing is, they're not here. Now, if in fact they are dead, then they should be able to go and marry out the shuk. There are no other yevamim in sight. Says our Mishnah, unfortunately you cannot do that. Because Mrs. Reuven falls the Shimon, maybe Shimon is around. Yeah, but Mrs. Shimon said that Shimon passed away. I don't trust Mrs. Shimon. For herself, I trust her. However, not vis-a-vis Mrs. Reuven. And the same thing, vice versa. That's what the Mishnah told us yesterday. Now, the second part of the Mishnah, we skip about five lines. You get to the last three lines. Nisyabmu, which means besides Reuven and Shimon, there were two other boys. We'll call them Levi and Yehuda. And they're here. And they're available. So you know what happens now? Since Mrs. Reuven is believed that her husband Reuven passed away, so now she falls Le'ibam not only to the missing in action Shimon, but also to Levi and Yehuda. She marries Levi. No problem. And the same thing, Mrs. Shimon. Mrs. Shimon is also without a husband. There is no Reuven around, okay, but there's still Levi and Yehuda. And therefore she marries Yehuda. And by the way, Levi could have married both of them, because after all, they're from two separate batim, two separate mitzvah siva. This is Mrs. Reuven, and this is Mrs. Shimon. But not to burden Levi with too many wives, what we've done is we're going to split it and share it. Levi will take one, he'll go and take Mrs. Reuven, and Yehuda will take Mrs. Shimon. Okay, nothing wrong with that. That's all fine and dandy.
So
yes.
If there are two other brothers, then we believe Rebbetzin and Shimon.
We believe Rebbetzin and Shimon, or Mrs. Shimon, that her husband passed away.
Right.
We believe Mrs. Reuven that her husband passed away. So therefore they fall Le'ibim. Who they fall Le'ibim to? Reuven and Shimon are not around, so they go and marry Levi and Yehuda.
Well, the fact that there are two boys to fall to for Yibum, then we do believe Mrs. Shimon.
We believe Mrs. Shimon vis-a-vis her own husband, that her husband passed away for herself.
Right.
So now she's a Yibum.
Right.
So what does she have to do? She has to have Yibum. She goes to Levi and Yehuda. We believe Mrs. Reuven that her husband Reuven passed away. Therefore she falls the Yibum to Levi and Yehuda. We don't believe, however, Mrs. Reuven that her husband passed away vis-a-vis Mrs. Shimon. We don't believe Mrs. Shimon that her husband passed away vis-a-vis Mrs. Reuven. Because it could be that the reason why they're saying that the husbands died vis-a-vis the other lady is because they hate the other lady and they want to go and be machshelem, that they should go and marry the shuk and not wait around for Yibum, and therefore they're telling a fib. So vis-a-vis themselves, their belief. Vis-a-vis their sister-in-law, they are not. So, however, if you have now the two available Yevamim, then there's no problem. Mrs. Reuven goes and marries Levi, Mrs. Shimon marries Yehuda, and Shalom Yisrael. So far, so good. And guess what happens? Now, fast forward a year or 5 years, and guess what? V'meisu ha-Yevamim. Unfortunately, Levi and Yehuda now passed away, leaving no children. And guess what? So now Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon fall Le'ibam once again. And Mrs. Reuven says, nobody in sight. Oh, but there's Shimon who's in London. Mrs. Shimon said, passed away 5 years ago. Says, Mr. Shimon, I have Reuven. I'd like to go and be Nisyabim for Reuven. Mr. Reuven, he passed away 5 years ago. So therefore, back to square one. We're back to the first part of the Mishnah. What do we do? Says the Tanakhama, Asura is Le'inase. Just like it said in the Reisha, Asura, Zu, Asura, when we balish, Zu, Zu, Asura. Again, they're Asur. They have no way. They can't go and be Nisyabim through their Yevamim. Yevamim are not here. According to each one of them, the Yevamim passed away. They cannot marry anybody else because I don't believe Mrs. Shimon vis-a-vis Mrs. Reuven. And I don't believe Mrs. Reuven vis-a-vis Mrs. Shimon. So they're stuck. As soon as they know, they can't marry anybody.
This is all based on the assumption they're in bad terms.
The assumption is that they're bad terms. But even if we don't know subjectively they're in bad terms, objectively the halacha is we cannot trust these five women because we suspect that perhaps they harbor ill feelings towards one another, and therefore we never believe one for the other. Even if you and I see them in public dancing and smiling and happy and hugging and embracing, but you never know what's in the depths of their heart. Yeah, I'm very happy she lives in Los Angeles, I live in New York, I love her. If she lived next door to me, there would be constant competition.
Even if they come before best, they would say we're best friends.
Exactly.
Right.
Doesn't make a difference. So then, seriously now, so Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Hoyl v'Hutru Yevamim, since they became Mutter to the Yevamim, in other words, they were able to marry Levi and Yehuda, that was successful. Hutzul Chaladim, therefore they're allowed to go marry everybody. Now the question is, what is the svara of Rebbe Lazar? Who cares? Yehutzul Yivam, Nishutzul Yivam. We still have a basic issue over here. We don't trust Mrs. Reuven vis-a-vis Mrs. Shimon. We don't trust Mrs. Shimon vis-a-vis Mrs. Reuven. We trust themselves on their own. That's why we allowed Mrs. Reuven to go and be Nisyabim through Levi. However, to go and say that Shimon no longer exists, he passed away, how do I know? Because Mrs. Shimon said so. I don't believe Mrs. Shimon. But I allowed Mrs. Shimon to be Nisyabim. For herself, I believed her. And not vis-a-vis for Mrs. Reuven. But Rebbe Loza said that if they already married Levi and Yehuda, then we believe them, they can go on and now marry anybody that they want, because there's no more Yevamim left. Reuven and Shimon both passed away as per Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon, and Levi and Yehuda passed away. So they can marry Lishuk. So now we're into the Gemara, five lines from the bottom, where the first word on the line is Mutarais, two dots. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Nisiyab Mu Meisra Yevamim. So we just quoted the Mishnah. Explain to me what's this for Rabbah. Does he hold that a tzara can be made lechaverto? In other words, we started off on the premise, based on the Mishnah of Kuf Yud Zayin, that a tzara is one of the five ladies that cannot be made. Rebbe Lozer respectfully disagrees. And he said, no, a tzara can be made, and one can rely on the other. The obvious question is, if that's what Rebbe Lozer holds, then why didn't he argue in the Mishnah back on Kuf Yud Zayin? He should say, no, a tzara is believed. Why is Rebbe Lozer silent until this point? So the bottom Toisus asks this question. And Toisus says, because everybody agrees that Rebbe Lozer holds of the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin, if the testimony would only affect the other lady. In other words, if Mrs. Shimon, she had no issue, for instance, let's assume that she had children. If she had children, she doesn't fall the Yibam anyway. And she says about her husband, my husband Shimon passed away. Same thing Mrs. Reuven said, her husband passed away. If it only affects them, let's take an easier case. Let's just talk about that there was one couple, not two couples. Reuven and Mrs. Reuven. Mrs. Reuven comes back here on these shores, back from London, and we say, what happened to Reuven? He passed away. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak says, beginning of the previous parak, we believe a woman if a Sholem Beinoy Lebeina, and Sholem Oilem, we believe her. Now what happens if it wasn't Mrs. Reuven that said about her husband that passed away? Mrs. Reuven was here. Shimon's wife, Mrs. Shimon, traveled together with Mr. Reuven to London, and it was a big tour, 50-60 people, and then they come back, and then Mrs. Shimon says, unfortunately, Leolaini, Reuven passed away. I'm sorry, Mrs. Reuven, your husband passed away. Says the Mishnah back in Kuf Yud Zayin, in that case, since Mrs. Shimon is not affected by all of this, Mrs. Shimon and Shimon Baruch Hashem are both alive, Mrs. Shimon is only talking vis-a-vis Reuven. It has no effect on her whatsoever. Her husband is alive. She has children. No din of him whatsoever. What's the din now? Is she believed vis-a-vis the Mrs. Reuven? Says the Mishnah Kuf Yud Zayin. Since this testimony has nothing to do with her, she is not believed to say that Reuven passed away. Because it could be that she wants to be makalkal Mrs. Reuven. That Mrs. Reuven should now go and marry Lishuk and ignore the fact that she has a Yavam in the form of Shimon. Don't believe it. However, in our Mishnah, where we're talking about when Mrs. Shimon is testifying, her principal objective in testifying is about herself, that she is now Muteres Liyibam or Muteres Lishuk, that her husband passed away. As an aside, as a tafel, it also affects the Mrs. Reuven. Then, says Rebbe Lozer, then we do believe her after all, since it's not the motivation of the hatred of her sister-in-law that she's telling this testimony. The motivation, the objective is because she wants to free herself from being an iguna, and therefore she tells the bezin, she tells the world, my husband passed away, I want to go and get remarried, etc., etc. So therefore, says Toysis, Rebbe Lozer could agree to Kuf Yud Zayin, if the only objective of the testimony was vis-a-vis the tzara, but here the objective was vis-a-vis herself. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar could hold that tzara me'ida. Or maybe the reason is because I can tell, says Rabbi Elazar, that Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon are telling the truth, because each one of them was nisyavmu to Levi and Yehuda. If Mrs. Reuven's husband Reuven was still alive, would she be crazy to go and marry the brother-in-law, to go marry Levi? After all, you have a problem of Eishes Ish if her husband is alive. And moreover, Eishes Ach. So you have two choruses. Gefährlich. Who would want to do anything like that? So therefore, that since I see that she's willing to go and marry, and she married, she was Nisyabim through Leit, and she was Nisyabim through Yehuda. So I see very clearly that they are bona fide, and it's authentic, and it's true what they said, that their husbands passed away, and therefore we will allow them now to marry Lecholat. What's the difference between these two reasons? Both of them are good reasons for Rabbi Elazar. Top of the Amud Kuf Chav. Again, Rashi says, not specifically our case. Let's talk about another case, where a woman comes back after traveling to Medina Siyam. She went there together with her husband. She comes back without her husband. And now, both she just came back, and the tzara who never traveled, who was here all along, both of them, for those who just joined us, Kuf Chof Hamid Aleph, the top line. So now, the lady that comes back, we have two, Rachel and Leah, both of them are tzaras, both of them are married to the same Reuven. Reuven and Rachel went away to London, Rachel comes back, Reuven never passed away. So now, according to Rabbi Elazar, we should believe her. Why should we believe her? According to the first Svara, because she's not saying Eidus because she wants to talk about Leah, she wants to talk about herself. She wants to say that I am no longer Niguna, my husband passed away, and therefore I'm either Mutaris Liyabim, or if there is no Yavam, I'm Mutaris Lashuk. Oh, by the way, it does have an effect vis-a-vis the Tzara about Leah, because now Leah is also free to marry either to a Yavam or to marry Lashuk, depending on the circumstances. Ah, so that would be the nafkimina, says the Gemara. That what? E amrit in tzuva the tzara mekame didar. The tzara now, according to Blazer, who is now also free to remarry based on Rachel's testimony, can she marry before Rachel marries, or should she wait until Rachel gets married and then she should get married? E amrit tzara meidil chavetor. You go and say that we believe Rachel vis-a-vis not only herself, but vis-a-vis Leah, is Avagav the Loy Insif, even if Rachel says, I'm taking to take a breather for a year, I'm not going to get married yet. Okay, fine, you're entitled to go and take off. But still you can go and give Shiduchim and have the Tzara get married. Because if you hold that you believe the Tzara, either the Chavita, I believe Rachel vis-a-vis Leah, Leah can remarry now, she doesn't have to wait. However, if the reason why we're allowing Rachel's testimony to allow Leah to remarry, that's only because she wouldn't want to be Mekalkelis herself. And therefore, I have to suspect that maybe she's telling a lie. And she's
setting a trap.
She's setting a trap, exactly. And therefore, says the Gemara, if Rachel herself remarries, then we see she's telling the truth. Would she want to be Mekalkelis as Atzma and Eishes Ish marrying out to somebody, as well as if there's a Yibam situation, Eishes Ish, is she going to go and do something? So instead, if she remarried Mr. Bilalala Tzara, then we say Tzara, you see that Rachel must be telling the truth. Rachel wouldn't go and shoot herself in the heart just to go and cause you Tzara's. So then, for instance, if Rachel gets married, then we say, Leah, now you can get married too. But however, if Rachel stays on the sidelines, we won't allow the Tzara to get married until we know for sure that Rachel is getting married as well. So, right. So what's Taka the Pshat in Rebbe Elazar? Toshima, Rebbe Elazar Omer, how you be Hutchul Levamin, Hutchul Lecholadim. We're quoting from the Mishnah. Since they became Hutchul Levamin, meaning that they married the two Yavams, Levi and Yehuda, therefore, now when Levi Yehuda passed away, they are mutter to go marry anybody. If you're going to go and say like the second tzad, that she's not going to be mekalkel herself, that's why it said the mishnah. If she herself married, therefore both can go and get married. Since I see Mrs. Reuven allowed herself to have the yibum of Levi, how can you do that? You're an Eishes Ish. This is an Eishes Ach. I'm telling you, Rabbi Yisai, my husband died. Fine, get married. Since we see that she got married, then we're going to allow the Mrs. Shimon also to get married. And vice versa. Since I see Mrs. Shimon married her Yavam, she married Yehuda, so I can allow Mrs. Reuven also to get married. Eliam is Mishum Ditzara Me'ida Lechavit. They're going to say, according to the first tzad, that I believe a tzara, when she says a testimony for the other one, is Avagav Deloy in Tsunami. Why does Rabbi Loza use the expression? Since they married the Yavamin, what happens if one of the two, L'mashal, Mrs. Reuven had children, and therefore she didn't fall L'yibum? So, but nevertheless she goes and says about the other one, but I want you to know that my husband passed away, and therefore you don't fall L'yibum to Reuven, and if there's only Reuven and Shimon on the scene, since you're believed on your husband, I'm believed on my husband, finished, you're off the hook. Even in a case where they didn't go and marry the lady in Yehuda. But essentially what the Gemara is saying is that Reb Loza should be arguing even in the first case of the Mishnah. And yet Shtei Yevam Mezu and Meres Meis Bali, Zu and Meres Meis Bali, according to Reb Loza, you should go and say, since they're made for the other one, and I hold that an Isha can be Me'idah Lechaberta, the Tzara can be Me'idah Lechaberta, especially like Toisa said, it doesn't just affect my tzara, it affects me. I, Mrs. Reuven, want to remarry. So even though as a byproduct it also affects Mrs. Shimon, because now she doesn't fall even to my husband, because I said that my husband passed away, but Blosa says, I believe her. Fine, I believe. So that's the case. Why are they only arguing the Sefer? They can argue in the Reisha as well. The Blosa should say, we believe both of them vis-a-vis the other one. The reason is because she, in the Sefer, married Levi. Mrs. Shimon married Yehuda, but Mekalkel and Afsha, and we assume to ourselves they're not going to go and shoot themselves in the heart or in the foot to go and just be Mekalkel the other tzara. So the Chayav have a good right. Says Yimor, no, you have no right. It could be Rabbi Loza Debrayim Kamaluhu. Rabbi Loza is really addressing the Rabban of our Mishnah. That's the Tanaka. Lividi, according to me, tzara me'ida lechaveta. V'avagav deloy inze misam minas vinan la. Even if she doesn't get married, we believe her vis-a-vis the other chaveta. So the other chaveta can get married even if the first one doesn't. Tzara me'ida, we believe her. Elichu, according to you, that you say that we do not believe one for the other. Oy believe me as the heicha, the inze. Minas v'inallah, you that say in the Reisha that both of them are Asur, and therefore since neither got married, I have no proof vis-a-vis the other one. But in the case of the Sefer, since each one was willing to make that leap, and the Nisyabin by Levi and Yehuda respectively, so then Minas v'inallah, we should allow them now once again to marry Lishuk, because there's no Levi and Yehuda around, they both passed away. There's no Reuven and Shimon around, because either they're not here, they're in London, or they passed away. Let them go and get married, because the Tzara Me'ida Lechaberta. So therefore, you have no raya what Reb Loza really holds. He could be talking to them. Let who? At least agree in the safe, Deich and the Insef, where they did remarry through Yibam to Levi Yehuda, Minas Bin Allah, that they could now marry whoever they want to, because we believe Mishum Dehila Mekalko and Asher. Why would anyone want to go and stab themselves, even though they have that innate hatred for the sister-in-law? They're not going to go and be Mekalko themselves. What are their abundant respond? Like we had a few days ago, Thomas Nafshi and Polishim Hudika Avda. Even though Mrs. Reuven is stabbing herself and Mrs. Shimon is stabbing herself, but they say, I don't care. Baruch Hashem, finally I get that opportunity to get rid of my sister-in-law who I hate with as a sinner. Even though myself, I'm also going to be. Can you believe something like that?
This is the Shimshon.
This is what Shimshon said exactly. Shimshon pushed away the two pillars. He himself was killed, but he says, I'm willing to be killed together with thousands of people upstairs who are feasting on the second floor. So here too, Mrs. Reuven says, yes, I know I'm killing myself by an Eishes Ish going and marrying and being misyabim to my brother-in-law. I know what I'm doing is a terrible sin, but the important thing is I want to see my sister-in-law also burned at the stake for what she's doing. She literally burned at the stake, but in the calculus of the other one, she willing to calculus. So bottom line, if we have not been poishit, what does Reb Lozer really hold? It's Toshima. Let's try to bring a raya from yesterday's Mishnah. We had a Mishnah yesterday, 2 days ago. Toshima ho isha shaholcha hiu balam minasiyah. Woman went with her husband to the Siyah. Ubabi Amra. She comes back and says, Meis Bali, my husband passed away. Tinase v'tituk suvasa. That's easy. Sholem beinoy lebenah, sholem ba'ilam. Tinase, she can get remarried based on her own testimony. And like Beis Shammai initially said, v'choze Beis Hillel lilmad ke Beis Shammai, she gets her ksub as well. However, v'tzarasa surah. The Tzara cannot rely on that testimony because that testimony is to her favor, and we don't trust the testimony of one Tzara for the other Tzara. It's Rosh Hashanah. So that's like the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, very straightforward. Reb Lozer Oymer, Hoyul Behutra, He Hutra Nami Tzarasa. Since we said, if the Bezin is being matir her to go and get married, no. So we're going to be matir the tzara as well. Otherwise, it looks like an inconsistent result. We say, yeah, Rachel can go and get married because we believe her on her son, but Leah cannot get married. What do you mean? It's the same husband. Is the husband dead? Then both should be able to get married. Is the husband not dead? Then how is Rachel getting married? So the Ifa says, Reb Lozer, he said she is gets a heter. Tzarasa is also believed. It also can get married based on the testimony of the first one of Rachel. So what do I see from this? We're saying that even before Rachel gets married, I say that Leah can get married. Since we give her a heter to remarry, we allow the Tzara, Leah, also to remarry. So what do I see from this? It's not like the second tzad, because she wouldn't be makalkel nafsha. The reason is because I believe the Tzara me'ida l'chavrta. So I can be poshed our shayla. Everything more nishkarai. Add one additional word to the Mishnah of the day before. Reb Lozer says, it's not not only she got the heter, but she actually got married. Oh, she got married. If she is going to go and marry, after all, it's Reishis Ish. It's Reishis Ach. How can she do it? Yivam Lishuk, how did she get married? Elamai, she must be telling the truth, and then we're going to allow for the Tzara as well to get married. Great Gemara. Let me ask you a brand new kasha which we didn't dwell on until now. Says the Gemara, I have another Eitzah as to what's going on, another approach. Again, Reuven went together with Rachel to Medina Seyam, leaving behind the other Tzara. Rachel comes back 3 months later, 6 months later, and says, unfortunately, our common husband passed away. Reuven is no longer. You know what might have happened? Reuven may have given a get to Rachel. Therefore, Rachel is now free to marry anybody because she's now a grusha. She comes back, doesn't talk about the get, and announces in Bezin, announces in public square, Rabbi Isai, Reuven never passed away. Very, very sad, very sorry. He's no longer. I'm going to show you that what I'm saying is true. I'm going to remarry. And she does remarry. And then afterwards, Bezin will say, oh, you see, she must be telling the truth. Reb Lozer said that if she said, and she in fact went the next step, and she went married, it must be that it's true. But you know why she was able to remarry? Because she has the get in her pocket. Nobody knows about that. And now Leah is going to go and remarry, and then Rachel is going to go and smile and snicker and say, I finally got her! Because it doesn't affect me. I got married because I got my get. But now Leah's going to be spoiled in the Kukelis because Reuven's coming back in a month. I know, I even saw his return ticket. He's coming back in a month. There, Leah's going to be married in the meantime. People are going to say, ah, Zoyna, and an Eisha Sish, and she was Mizana. And if she became pregnant from the second husband, says, I'm Mam Zayden. Oh, I can't wait! This is going to be the talk of the town. I'm so happy. So, Faith Demora, can you believe that there are people like that? Apparently there are, and therefore she's coming back with a get in her pocket. And why did she say her husband died? Why didn't she say I'm a grusha? And if therefore that's the case, again, how does Reb Elazar say, maybe not. Maybe the reason why she remarried is because she's a grusha, not because she's an amana. You know, if she remarried a Yisrael, you have a very good point. Could very well be that Reb Elazar would not hold even the intsiv, but maybe the reason why she got married is because she has a get. If she were to marry a kohen, if she marries a kohen, if she's a grusha, she can't marry a kohen. Therefore, it must be that she's an almana, not a grusha. And therefore, says Reb Elazar, that's why I can believe her not only vis-a-vis herself, but I can also believe her vis-a-vis the other tzara.
She's willing to be such a
rishanta.
A rishanta. Maybe she'll marry a Cohen and say, she'll say, okay, so I married Cohen. What you gonna do? It's Isser Lav. Okay, so my children are Halolim. I'm a Halola.
That's all if you hold like the Rabbanan. Thomas Nafshi in Blisht in Mekalta. The Blazer doesn't agree with that. Okay. The Blazer says she doesn't want to Mekalta herself. That's the reason why, according to the second side, we believe her. If I see she gets married, why don't you go and say, maybe she's get married? She's an Aisha Sish, she's an Aisha Sach, she doesn't care. No. If she's willing to Mekalta herself, it's a simon that she's not Mikul Kelis, and that, in fact, the husband passed away. Okay, the good news, Rabbi, is that from here to the end of the blot, although it's not talking about happy things, it's relatively easy. And that is, we're talking about Rahman al-Islam, a report that someone passed away, and there is one aide, two aidim, the wife, people are testifying that he passed away. How do we know that in fact it was Reuven that passed away, and not Shimon, and not Smith, and not Jones or Goldberg? How do we know? So obviously there has to be some sort of simanim, we have to know. Unfortunately, if you go to the mess and ask him, could you just share with us your name and your identity? In all likelihood, the person is not going to respond. If he does, then you got other problems. So now the Gemara says, how can be made that a person passed away? So the Gemara tells us three words. Number one, you have to go and see the person's face. And the face has to include not the face, not only the face itself, but also the nose. If you only see the other parts of the face without the nose, no right. Even if you have other simanim on his guf or in his kelim, in other words, he's wearing clothing. Oh, those clothing, that's, I recognize that tie. Nobody else in town wears that tie except for Mr. Smith. It must be him. That's not a good sign. Next, Amy the Elatra takes an afshir. You have to actually see the person pass away, period. He's dead. Even if you saw that he was stabbed multiple times, Nebuch. As we read about from time to time in the paper, somebody Nebuch was stabbed multiple times. Or Tzolov, even if they say, I saw him hanging like a yoizel, hanging up there from whatever. Boy, and even if they see that Rahman al-Islam, the person's lying there, and a lion or a bear are eating up limbs of this individual, you have to say, I saw the person dead. Finally, you can only go and say this up to 3 days. Because up to 3 days, we assume that the facial features are still intact. After 3 days, there's been so much decay and decomposition of the body that it's no longer recognizable. So even if someone says, yeah, I know Smith. I used to daven with him for 25 years. We sat next to each other. Sorry, after 3 days, you no longer believe it. You can't give one objective standard that applies throughout. Not all people, not all places, and not all hours are the same. What does that mean? So Rashi says, there are differences, for instance, in people. You have some people who are rather corpulent, and then you have people who are skinny. What difference does it make? If a person happens to be rather corpulent, his body will swell more quickly than a person who is thinner. That is the gablei kol adam. What means v'lo kol mokay? It really depends. Are we talking about that this person was lying out in the sun after he passed away, or whether he was in the shade when he passed away? And number three, v'lo kol hashoyis, was it winter month or was it summer month? During the winter months, the coldness of the air preserves the body longer than if it's during the summer month. Yes, Reb Simcha.
Unfortunately, like with Lechem, during the horrible
path from Mexico to Mumbai. So it took a while to live. So when the issues was Allah identifying the bodies because of the decay.
Exactly. So what you're saying.
Whatever. Network and investment and investment in the dots and a poskin is actually the difference of the African American. And the flip side is, as I said before, the head of staff Eshler was the Rebbe of the both of the Rebbe and the Skiller Rebbe. He was in the very Romanian. And then unfortunately, due to the highway over there, so they moved his body to the server. There was a big question. Ya Nish, one called one Al Khut, after Vision Khut said, Echot, and one of the Rebbe's goats. And he slammed open the Skiller Rebbe. And the Rebbe was at 40s and 50s. He was like a nifter, and that's what that's right now.
Okay.
So you're saying it took a lot of shoulder.
So you're saying that's talking about that type of case as well.
That's also true about the Vilna Gaon in the Soviets. They wanted to destroy the cemetery in Vilna, and the Chevra Kadisha there moved in. They opened it, and they said it was like he's just asleep.
Yeah, they said by sleeping that.
But that's exactly, you're saying another type in like Adam Shabbat.
Oh, right, right.
Very nice. Shkoyach. They say the same thing by the Chidah. Chidah was.
Is that?
The Chida.
Yeah.
They say the same thing, that it was about 200 or 300 years after his passing, and they moved his body to Eretz Yisrael, and they say the Chevra Kadisha said they opened the urn, and the body was still totally intact. Anyway.
With the Torah, I heard once from Eli Shabbatai, said it wasn't totally intact. I have to ask her again,
Okay, if you.
If you
find out more information, you'll share it with us, Machem. Yes? Exactly.
Yeah.
Good. Anyway, so those are the three rules that we had in our Mishnah. By the way, Brother Shai, we had, Baruch Hashem, a nice, vibrant minyan for today. Will you be here tomorrow?
I'm not sure at this point. It's 50-50.
If you can, that would be great. Even if you cannot, if you can go and call some of our friends. For instance, Robert.
What was it today? What was the issue?
We had about 13 or 14 people today, which was great. And Mendy is leaving today. Our oats will probably go along. And then there was a guest here in town that we never saw before. And a chamoyra that Reb Simcha might not be here tomorrow because he learns with Mendy every day and Mendy can be here. So we may be down to 8 or 9. So if you can,
I'll work on it.
Yeah, if you can round up the troops, that would be great. Especially Thursday, our good chaver Reb Daniel has first yard site, and therefore he also wants to have. He has a minion.
Ariel
not only was there this morning, he's with us here, the Kvoda Uba Atzmai, as we speak.
Okay, because that gives me strength when Ariel's with us.
Not only you, gives all of us strength, both physical and sentimental and mental and
spiritual.
All emotional and spiritual strength. Yes, absolutely. Not for naught is the name Ari Kel. He is the Ari, he's the lion with the Kodesh Baruch.
Absolutely.
Yes, Mandy.
Yosef, come on, this year.
Okay, so Netz Hashem starting tomorrow, Netz Hashem Wednesday, Thursday of this week, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, Nachman Yosef Alpert will be here to give the shir. But he already said, make sure that there's a minion, and make sure that there's an oilam, because if there's no minion, or there's no oilam, he's going to fly the coop. Okay?
Then I will redouble my efforts.
Retriple your efforts. Okay, on to the Gemara. Zok Gemara, we started the Mishnah to say that you can only recognize a person if you have the parts of haponim im hachoitim. Talking about it, we learned in the Braise that that's also not enough. Padachas, which is the forehead, v'loi parts of ponim, and you don't have the face. Or parts of ponim, v'loi padachas, you have the face, but you don't have the forehead. Ein me'inat yushneim im hachoitim. So you have to have all three. You have to be able to see the forehead, the face, and the nose. What's the right from the pasuk? It says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Hakoras Peneim Onsavam. So what do we see from that pasuk? So Rashi says, right after the Gemara, after the Mishnah, Pedach is the Metzach, that's the forehead. Hakoras Peneim Onsavam Heidabam, that's Meid. Alma Ein Edis Beshar Hakuf El Behekrapon. We see pun, but you don't see anything regarding the Pedachas. You don't anything regarding the Chotzer. So good at Peneim. If the micro is going on this whole raisa, then it only throws about pneum. Therefore, we have the second choice. Second choice says, why does it say hakoras pneum? Should just say pneum on tzavam. What's the hakoras pneum? See the second choice. It's pirish. Chitzorach padachas shel pneum. The hochi maisi haikro. You know what we're bringing this passage that said hakoras pneum on tzavam. The mashi chitzorach Hakara levad min haponim. Oh, so these are two separate concepts. Hakara and Pnayim. So what's the Hakara? The Hakara is the Metzach, is the Faret, and the Pnayim is the Ponim together with the Choytim in the middle part of the Ches. So Igmar tells us a real life story. Abba Bar Marta do Abba Bar Minyuni. He had two names. It could be that his mother's name was Marta, like the English name Martha, and his father's name was Minyuni. Anyway, Haba Maski Bey, Debey Reish Kalusa, Zuzi. He owed the Reish Kalusa money. One day he had to pass by the palace or the mansion of the Reish Kalusa, and he was nervous that the security guards would go and grab him and say, when are you going to pay your loan? So what did he do? Icy Kira, Kira means wax. Dovah Bibul Yasa, he took some of that wax and attached it to a shmata. Bibul Yasa means something which is blowing,
blues.
A blues, exactly. So a shikul shmata. Dovah Bapuse, now it was sticky as a result of the wax. Apparently, Elmer's glue was sold out. So he took that wax, gluey, sticky shmata. Dovah Bapuse put it on his forehead. Kolof Kamayu, and he walked past the guards there at the Reish Kalusa, who looked at Sakura, and they did not recognize him. So you see from that, for full recognition, you also have to see the fart. Right, it says in the Mishnah, even though there's simonim on the guf and on the bekelim, this is garnished, you have to see Hakoras Peneim, the face and the fart. So you want to remember the simon of Adir Isa. It sounds like from you that a simon is not reliable. For a minute, we learned in Masechtas Gittin, as well as in Bava Metzia, what happens if a person is a shliach carrying a get to give to a lady and he lost it and he said, oh no, what's going to be? Where's my get? Anyway, a week later, Baruch Hashem, he's finally unpacking all of his belongings and Metzoi kosher bekis ube'arnik ube'tabas. That get somehow got tied, entangled with his kiss, with his wallet, arniki, another type of wallet, like a purse, ube'tabas, or in his ring, together with all of his other belongings. I fill his my room, even though it's a week later, a month later. Kosher, you can rely on this get. Now, how can you rely on the get? By the fact that it was in association with his other kelim. But don't we say that kelim have no simonim? We just said in the Mishnah, you cannot rely on simonim on kelim, because Mara holds the chari simonim lab the araisa. In fact, it's a machloikis. Where do we find this machloikis? Says in the Braisa. Again, what's chas v'sholom if a person passed away? And the only simon that they have is he has this huge wart on his chin, on his toes, on his stomach, whatever. Says the Tanakam, a wart is not enough as a simon. No, even you can be made based on a wart. So my the marasav simonim d'iraisa, and therefore a wart is a good simon, and that's why that Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin says that if you find the get tied to the kiss, the arniki among the other possessions, it's a simon. You don't have the simon in the get; you have the simon on the other kelim. Simonim d'iraisa, it's enough. You can use the get. The wart is not sufficient because it's only a simon. Simon is derabana, and in our case, you also cannot rely on simonim, and that's why it says in the Mishnah, even though the simonim is good for Caleb, it's foolish bad. Amar Rav, we have no raya. It could be the Kuliyama, it could be that both the Tanakam and the Blessed Ben Mavoy hold simonim via raisa. And what's the machlokes about this wart? How unique is a wart as a simon? People of the same age, born under the same type of constellation, same type of mazel, that's a frequent flyer you find often. You have warts in the middle of your stomach or wherever, so therefore you can't rely on that. No, it's not so matsui. Sounds like a machlokes and mitzius. But the bottom line is, you cannot rely on a wart because, yes, a fair number of people do have that. So we have a machlokes. Not everybody agrees someone of your rice, someone is good. Just this particular simon is not a reliable simon. Vikiriyami, there's another version. What does a wart look like after the person passes away? A wart after Misa changes color, changes size, changes complexion, whatever, and therefore it's not a reliable simon. That's why no, a wart typically for the first couple of days all stays exactly like the rest of the body, and therefore you can rely on it. But everybody holds him on their eyes. So what's the machlokes? siman muvik kamif l'gi, whether it has the status of siman muvik. What does that mean? Even though Rava says according to the Sikh of the Yami, simanim is drabonon, not min ha-toyra. However, siman muvik is different. It says the top Rashi that afal gav the simanim drabonon, asiman ki hai sam chinon afilu l'gabi and isa d'ayraisa. Meaning, when we say simanim drabonon, that means your standard, regular 5 and 10 type of simanim. But asiman muvik, which is unique, that's very different. I'm sorry?
Birthmark?
What would be considered a siman muvik? You'd have to look in the pasuk.
A scar.
Our Gemara is only talking about the case of this wart. That marisav a siman muvik, having a wart right under chvais, the left part of the chest, under the left nipple or something, that's a siman muvik. A marisav a siman muvik, I've been to emergency rooms many times and I see lots of people with warts, and those are nish, ka siman muvik. What would be a siman muvik, like you heard from Daniel, if a person has a particular scar which is 5 inches wide under his nose, on top of his eye or something like that, where the average person doesn't have such a scar which is 5 inches long, that would be a siman muvik or something similar. According to the first shot, where we said siman is a diraisa, what about our Mishnah? You cannot rely on those simanim. The only thing you can rely on is the Hakoris Peneim. But you just said, now simanim is the Araisa. And for the Gemara, the simanim in our Mishnah are talking about very generic or weak simanim. For instance, Gufay, the Orach Begutz. You know how I knew that the person who passed away was Reuven Smith? Reuven Smith, as you know, it says in his license, his driver's license and his passport, that he's 5'10". This person is exactly 5'10". Oh, I have a simon, this must be Reuven Smith. Do we know other people that are 5'10"? Yeah, quite a few. And, or he says, good. No, he was a shorty. He was like only 5'2". Are there only one person in the world 5'2"? There are a lot of people. Those are the simana that we're saying in the Mishnah, which are unreliable. But could be taka, a unique wart on his body, would be reliable. What about the caliph? That he says, this person wore a beautiful, beautiful suit. I never saw anybody wear such a tailored, beautiful suit. And this was Mr. Smith. I remember his suit. He always came into show. People said, wow, look, he looks so aristocratic. Member of the nobility, look at that suit. Maybe he lent it to his brother or to his cousin or to his best friend. He had to go to a chasana and he lent him that suit. So even though the person who's wearing it is wearing Reuven's suit, but really it's not Reuven Smith, it's Shimon Goldberg that passed away. Therefore, you can't rely. If you're going to tell me you can't rely on Kalim because people lend and borrow Kalim, back in Mesechtes Bava Metzia, which I'm going to learn another couple of years or whatever, what does it say there in the Mishnah? That if you find a chamar, to me and to most of you, I assume, all chamarim look be'erach the same. I assume a chamar, when he sees people, also he thinks that they're all the same. What? How can you identify a chamar over another chamar? The simani ukif, if it has a particular type of saddle, or a particular type of rug on the back of the chamar, whatever the chamarim wear on their backs when people sit on the chamar, that's Reuven Smith's chamar. I recognize it. Only Reuven Smith has such as a chamar saddle. Everybody else has larger, smaller, greener, yellower, bluer, whatever, that I can tell. So Frank Timara says the Mishnah that you can return the chamar based on simani ukif to the person who claims that he lost it. Hech madrina. Why? Can you return it to him? Maybe the chamar belongs to Shimon and not to Reuven. It has Reuven's saddle. Reuven lent his saddle to Shimon. And now it's really Shimon's property, not Reuven's property. How can you go and return it based on the simanim of the saddle? People don't normally go and lend their saddles from one person to the other, because if you're going to use it on a different chamar, maskiv lei lechamar. Apparently, donkey saddles have to be made custom tailored to the particular chamar. If they use somebody else's saddle, it can make a laceration, a cut in their back, and therefore nobody's going to want to borrow somebody else's ukif if it's going to go and damage his chamar.
People also typically brand their animals to show ownership.
If you have that, that would also be a good symbol. We're talking about if you didn't have that branding, the only raya was from the ukif. The Mishnah says you can return a chamar b'simani ukif. I maybe it belonged to somebody else. People don't lend, but they're ukifs because they are, it possibly can cause damage. What about the mission that we said that the person found the get? It says in the Mishnah that you can return the get and give the get now to the Isha. If you hold, like we said in the Amud Aleph, that Simonim are not the Araisa, then how can you go and return it? When it comes to Tabas, you don't have to worry about that someone lent his Tabas to somebody else. You know why? Because Tabas Chayshus Yufi, if I lend my signet ring to someone else, Chassid Shalom, he might go and take it to one of these fraudsters who's going to try to make a facsimile, a forgery, a counterfeit based on that Tabas, and therefore they're going to go and counterfeit and forge my name and my seal on documents.
Identity theft.
Same thing is Kisva Arniki. People don't lend their purses or their wallets. Menachshi inchi b'lein mushli. Rashi said Menachshi means person feels it's not mazeltik. After all, my wallet symbolizes my wealth. If I go and lend my wallet to somebody else, it's as if I'm lending my wealth to someone else, and therefore people are kind of superstitious about that. So if you find the get among the kiss or among the tabas or the arniki, you know for sure that that's the shliach's tabas, kiss for arniki, not that somebody else borrowed it, lent it. People don't borrow and lend these things. V'yisema, kelev, getting back to our Mishnah. We said we cannot rely on the kelim of our Mishnah. You know why? Not because chashin l'shevet. A new reason. B'chimre misumki. It's talking about that he said, I know that this was Reuven Smith because he was wearing a white shirt. And you know, Reuven Smith always wore a white shirt. He never wore a polo shirt and he never wore a green shirt. That must be Reuven Smith. Though I ask you, is there only one person in the world that only wears white shirts? There are quite a few people. And simtum sumki. Sumki means that it was red shirt or red pants or whatever. Okay, maybe not so many people wear red shirts or red pants, but there at least got to be a dozen that I can think of, and there are probably millions of people in the world that wear it. So anyway, that's why it's an unreliable sin. Zagazin.
All the best.
And the mother's Nishum Shem and Aliyah. And feel free to give my portion of the ticket to whoever you want to on Thursday.
Thank you. All the best.
Back to our Gemara. We said in the Mishnah that you can only be meyed if you see teitzei nafshei. Even if the person is meguyat, the meguyat means nebuch stabbed multiple times, no riot. Remember the meguyat chayit. So obviously we're saying that a meguyat theoretically can live, and therefore you cannot be meyed that the person is dead. Ermin, I'll ask you a kasha. We have a Mishnah Masechtas Oyholois. Odom in a metame at teitzei nafshei. I feel meguyat, but I feel a goy says. What happens if you happen to be in an ohel together with a person who never was stabbed multiple times, where the doctors and everybody says it's only a question of a few minutes, and I quickly run out? Do I become tameh because I was together in the meguyad nebuch in this oil? No. Adam in metame ad shetetze nafshay. I feel meguyad. I feel a goises, even though they have a shchivmara, who again the doctor said it's terminal. It's just a question of another few minutes. He is not tummy until that final moment of Yitzias Nisham. And if at that time he's no longer in the oil, he won't become tummy. Zokim, what do I see from that Mishnah? He doesn't get a status of tummy because the person is still alive. But obviously we've written this person off and we're saying, it's just a question of 5 or 10 minutes. So Ibazoi, and our Mishnah says, you cannot go and be made a Ben Amagui because maybe he's going to live. So we should say in that Mishnah, the reason why it's not metame because maybe you'll have a refuah shleima, and that's the reason why. Not ad shetetze nafshei, ad shetzichya nafshei. That he's going to omer Hashem, he's going to be alive and well in some time. Why are you writing him off? Amr Abay Lekasher, Shem Lelozah Haraban Smach Loikis. The Sanya, we have a brayz. Meid Nal Meguyad. You can go and say Rachmon Litzlan about a person who's Meguyad that he's dead, even though you didn't see tetze nafshei. He was stabbed multiple times. He's a goner. We made it, and the woman would then be free to remarry. They may be an al-atol, but somebody who's hanging there, like on a yoizel, hanging, that you cannot go be made, because maybe a minute later, after you left, somebody took him down from the cross, and Baruch Hashem, he's alive and kicking. He can be made on a goy. Either sometimes, as a result of the heat of the wound, article translate, it might be cauterized, meaning that the wound, in fact, might somehow heal. And he's going to go and live after all.
Shouldn't it matter where those stabbing occurred, in a limb or in a vital organ?
What you're saying makes a lot of sense. The Gemara doesn't address that. The Gemara does address it a little later when we talk about the chaya echeles, that it's only when it eats a vital organ. Limb as opposed to another organ. It could be, you know, if chas v'shalom, if one stabs a person even in his arm or in his leg, and they hit a major artery, a major vein,
they'll bleed to death.
Exactly. So that's what one of the hetedim for Hatzolot, even to go and take a person who has a broken arm or broken leg on Shabbos, take them to the hospital. Yeah, just wait until after Shabbos. What do you have to go and take him now? Because if chas v'shalom the break went and severed one of the major arteries or one of the major veins, chas v'shalom the person can bleed. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, he might live after all. Oh, so we see this Taka Machloikas the Gabi Meguyot. Our Mishnah holds that, like Reb Shimon Elazar, ain't me'idin because he might live even with all the stabbing wounds. And the other Mishnah holds, no, he's zicha gonna die. It's just a question of time. Thank you, Marmi. What's the logic of Shimon Elazar? Our Mishnah goes, Reb Shimon Elazar, that you can't be made on the Meguyot because he might live. But Tani Seifa, Mi'achim, tomorrow we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Mas Ba'asya, there was a story in the place called Asya, V'echad Sheshishalu Olam Yam, one person that they lowered him into the water, quite like a deep sea diver. So he went down into the water, and then ultimately, when he came up again, the only thing that came up was El Ragloi, a leg. The rest of the body wasn't there. Now, obviously, that might mean the rest of the body is nebuch was severed and the person drowned. It could also mean, like we're going to learn in tomorrow's Gemara, that if you have a mayim she'ein lehem soif, which means water that you cannot see the surface in all directions, because wherever you look around in all directions there's only water, maybe this person nebuch lost a leg and got stuck there among some stones down below and the leg got dislodged, but he was able to go and swim and he's on another island somewhere, which I can't even fathom where, and he's still alive.
He's alive, but he's not kicking.
Well, maybe he's kicking only with one leg. Anyway, the shishalu la yamvli also biyanim el ragli, only the leg. The yomer chacham minakuvu lamalo tinase. If the leg was severed above the knee, then you know for sure that that person cannot live, because I guess he would have lost so much blood in the arteries, the veins, who knows what, and therefore he's a goner, tinase. If it's below the knee, you should not get remarried, because maybe just the foot and the ankle nebuch was severed, but the rest of the body is still okay, and therefore so think to the Gemara, I don't understand why in the case of akuva lamata, says the, or if you look at the Rashi, Rashi is parallel to our Gemara. Why the chaye, if it's lower than the knee, the person could live? You're telling me that maybe he drowned, because we're talking about a situation where you cannot see surface in front of you. Maybe he was able to somehow extricate himself from the depths of the water. And he got up, came up, parsa, a parsa or yoiser away, and therefore I couldn't see him. Period. What does it say, however, in the Brisa of Tani Menakuvu Lamala, Tinase, that if it was above the knee, then she can remarry. Alma Meguyon Loichai. In other words, we're assuming that above the knee is the same thing like a Meguyon, that a big stab wound in the thigh, and therefore the person cannot live. Oh, so you see Meguyon Loichai. And you're telling me, Kunkun Jibshim Nalazar, Alma Meguyon, ain't Me'idin, because he might live after all. Ever the Gemara Shani Mai the Marzumaka. You're talking about a different situation. Since the person lost his leg, Nebuch, in the water, had he been outside of the water, maybe in fact the air outside, maybe the sun, maybe the heat of the wound, could have cauterized the wound and the person could live. But when you're in the water won't allow for that cauterization.
Coagulation.
Oh. And therefore Rashi says even worse, that the water machzikois from the godlois ke'eva makah, it can make it even worse, because the water can get in and maybe bring in an infection or something, and therefore this person won't live. I remember a story Ha'utaya, there was this Arab merchant, the Shokel Safsira, he took a sword, the Gaide Legamle, and he went and cut off a major limb of his gomel, of his camel, above the knee of one of the legs. He didn't even have a chance to go and finish off his neighing or braying, whatever the sounds of a camel are called. He wasn't even able to finish that because he died on the spot as soon as Meguyat finished, done. Oh, so you see that a Meguyat doesn't get cauterized and doesn't get coagulated. They're dead. That was talking about a Shvach Gomel. That Gomel was already 125 years old. Shein yamin alt and krank. Shvach, and therefore, by just cutting off that limb, it was dead. But a regular, normal Gomel, would have been able to survive. Rav Omar Misakim Lubenis, the Divya Kar. Rav goes back on the original kasha that we asked, that Misakta Seholi said, but even in the Mishnah we said, maybe the person would live after all. Rav says, we're talking about Misakim Lubenis. Our Mishnah talking about that the Sakim wasn't just a knife, it was a heated up knife. It was white. The word Lubenis from Russian, of lava. It was so heated up, it was white hot. And then when he stabbed the person, because of the heat of the white hot knife, although Taki made numerous stab wounds, but there was in fact an automatic cauterization as a result of the heat. The heat kept the bleeding to a minimum, and Baruch Hashem, the person was able to live after all. And that's why the Mishnah says, Ein me'idin by a meguyad, unless you actually see Teitzei Nafsha. That's what a meguyad says, Rava, with a sack in the lupus. Right. It says in the Mishnah, Chai Oichalis, even if you see the Chai is Nebuch tearing apart this individual limb by limb and eating him up, you cannot go be made until Teitzei Nafsha. Amr Yira Mishmuel, Leishon Mokim Shei Nafshi Yoitz. If he's eating up the toes of this individual, he's eating up an arm of the individual. If he goes directly to the neck, to the lungs, to the heart, and you start eating from there, then you have nothing to worry about. Unfortunately, he's a goner. What happens, Rachman al-Islan, somebody shechted a human being, in other words, attempted to decapitate him, and shechted two of his simanim, meaning the windpipe and the food pipe, or Reifstein, Ubarach, and then after that, that person was still able to run away, may even you can go and testify that this person is dead. Ah, he was able to still run away. It's just like you have the case of the lizard. You go and cut off the tail, and as the tail keeps on waving back, jumping back and forth for the next 10 seconds. The tail has already been severed from the lizard. Nevertheless, there's some type of human, or in that case, animal mechanism that allows for the continuation. So even though it's running away, even you can be made that the person is dead. This person who's passing away had no children. He has a brother, and he knows that brother is Yeferlech, he's a difficult character. So he says quickly to two Adam, please write a get for my wife and give her the get. Harry, go and write out the get and give it. How can you do that? This person is dead. He's a dead person. And therefore, you can't have a get la'achar misa. There's no machloikas over here. Everybody agrees that even after the shechita of Shnayim or Rosh Shnayim, there's no question he's mesukan ma'oid and he's pikuach nefesh. He's going to pass away shortly. The question is, how shortly will that be? For the first 5 or 10 minutes, half an hour, he might still be able to live. Maybe after an hour, after 2 hours, he will pass away. But at least there is some interim short life. And therefore, if he says quickly, right, get, and you get a seifer, now 1, 2, 3, sign it, give it, before he passes away, chayim the seifer life. If a person went and checked on another person, Shnayim or Rosh Shnayim, Bishogeg, not to but amaze it, Rashi says, Enofel Sakim Miyadoi, never if there's a person who's lying there on his hammock, there in the beautiful sun and trying to get a suntan or sunburn, and then the person on top is chopping down a tree, and never the axe falls down, and Shochet Boishnayim or Rosh Shnayim, the person should have to go in Golas, because you're saying, he's going to die. Alomatani, why do we learn the price? What do you mean he killed the guy? Wait, my lord, Amr Boishia, Chayshinan Shemaruch Bilbalase, Inam Yishem Iyu, Kira Misase. The reason why he doesn't go into Golgus is because he may not have been the Makib Patish. You know who the Makib Patish was? That after he shechted Roiv Shnayim, maybe after that you had the draft or the wind got into the Makkah and brought with it all types of infections and stuff, and that's what killed the guy, not the actual shechting, but the subsequent wind. Maybe he was thrashing around, and that thrashing around caused his
accelerated his death,
and therefore he is the guy that's responsible. Maybe if Hatzolah got there in time before the thrashing, they could have still saved him. What's the difference? Both of these reasons are basically the same. What happens if the shechita took place in a house made out of marble where there are no drafts, there are no winds, always the temperature and the atmosphere is exactly static the same, so you don't have the bilbul of the haruach bilbul asai, but upirchus, however, the person was thrashing around. So out the second reason you have, but you don't have the first reason. Or you can have the other way around. Inami de shachti bidbra. They shachted him outside in the open. Rashi has a girsa bidabra. Bidabra means like in the midbar, in the wilderness, in the fields, outside in the open. And therefore you have ruach bilbalasai. Tlepirchus, and the person didn't thrash at all. He just stayed there motionless. Let's see, if you have the second and you don't have the first. Okay. Just finished quickly to the Mishnah. Yuda Omer. It says at the end of the Mishnah, Loi kala adam shavin, loi kala shoy shavin, loi kala mokim shavin. We already heard the beautiful stories about the Nogoyin, about the Stefaneshna Rava, about Chida and other great tzaddikim. Iboy lehu, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, lekulopalik, eilechum lepalik. What does that mean? Right before Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, until 3 days, you can be made. Not after 3 days. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, no, that depends. So did he mean to say that sometimes even less than 3 days you cannot be made, sometimes even after a day or two it's already too late? Or do you mean to say that even after 5 days you can still be made? That's the question. It's Toshima. It was a person that Nebuch drowned in the river next to the town of Karni. Basku Abi Hedja, and the waves finally brought the body up to the surface in a place called Behedja. The Bas HaKlosiyam was ready after 3 days had already passed. The Inzvar Abdim and Edah, the Debisun of Nibdimi, said she's allowed to get married because we recognize this Gabra who drowned. But it's already more than 3 days. But soon there was another case, who Gabra the Ipa Bedinglis, that's the Tigris River, person drowned there. Vasku Agishra Dib Shibistina. Finally, the body came up on the Gesher, on the bridge of Shibistina. The Inzvar Rabbah the Debisu Apuma the Shushbini, based on the Eidus of the Shushbinim. Shushbinim means the people that were close friends of the Chosin Kala. The Bosa Chamishi, after 5 days. Zotimar Iyam is Bishlam the Kula Palig in the other Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. If he's holding Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, it's not a 3 day, sometimes after 5 days, sometimes after 10 days. Sure, so they were relying on Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava to be Mater Ishtar. Eli Amris, the Chumra Pali, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is only saying, it's not always 3 days, sometimes you only get a half a day, only 1 day, 2 days. You don't get 3 days. Inu the Ovid commands, how could they be makel even after 5 days to go and say, yeah, we recognize the guy and let the woman remarry? Every Marshani Maya the Tzamsi. Mayim has a special quality to it, the Tzamsi, that it contracts and holds the body in place. In other words, almost like freezing the body, like putting the body on ice. It goes and contracts the body. You don't have to worry about the body swelling and decaying and decomposing. The water keeps it intact. Didn't you say in the Amid Beis, Mayim Marzimaka, the Mayim makes it worse, not that it makes it better. If there's a makkah, the water unfortunately can get into the veins and the arteries, into the body, and that body can go very, very quickly and makes it worse. If there is no makkah, it's just an intact body and never the person drowned. Mitzvah Sumis, then it has the quality of keeping it contracted, and therefore even after 5 days you can still recognize the person's features. That's only if after the person comes up on seashore, you come there fairly quickly, within 10 minutes, within a half an hour. Abel Ishtoi, however, once the body comes up on the surface, if it stays there for 6 hours or something, you no longer have the water that contracted it. Mispachtofach, unfortunately, it can grow and bloat and swell, and you won't be able to recognize the body. I'm going to be away for around 10 days. Nachman Yosef is going to give